the great Deacon David Knighton.
Praise Yahweh. Much shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Today we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to start out with some bullying. A little bit about what bullying is, where it came from, and ending up with what we can do about it, Yahweh willing. The title of this sermon is, Yesterday is Gone, Tomorrow May Be Too Late, and Today is the Time to Act on Changing Our World. Yes, yesterday is gone, but there's many valuable lessons to be learned from the things that occurred yesterday. In fact, a few yesterdays ago, I was at a prison, and as I was getting out of my car, I noticed it must be shift change. There were a lot of people, a lot of commotion, and there was a lot of yelling back and forth, a lot of cursing, name-calling, some pretty vile things that I heard coming from men and women. And these were both coming out of that facility. They were guards there. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning them. We know that they're part of this system, this Nimrod system that we've been brought up in. But I was thinking to myself about the bullying. It had been on my mind throughout the week. And it was like, how can a bully teach someone not to bully? That's the thought that kept going through my mind. How can a bully teach someone not to bully? So I saw it everywhere that I went. In fact, I got a few pictures here I'd like to share with you. It's pretty obvious that this one's a bully, isn't it? This one I think is pretty obvious of maybe the schoolhouse bullying. Here's a picture of a bully. Here's a picture of looks like maybe a father or an adult chastising a child there. That can be bullying. Here's a grandmother. She doesn't look like a bully, does she? But what does a bully look like? That's the question. You know, bullies are everywhere. In fact, that guy right there could be a bully. Okay, well, we know this one's a bully, right? You can see that one? In fact, that's where this bullying came from. So when did it start? When will it end? Well, let's look at Genesis 3, 1 through 4, if you'll turn there with me. Genesis 3, 1 through 4, that's the first book in the scriptures there, page 2. Genesis 3, 1 through 4. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, Has Yahweh indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or you will die. Now he wasn't bullying, that was just his command. He was actually giving us guidance, being a loving heavenly father, giving us guidance on how to live. But the serpent said to the woman, You're not going to die. You will not surely die. For he knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be as the gods, knowing righteousness and evil. So here was some bullying taking place. Satan was saying, you know, don't listen to that. This is what I want you to do. So Satan started manipulating, started practicing that satanic magic, that manipulation, the psychology of it all. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program defines a bully as a person who is habitually cruel or overbearing, especially to smaller or weaker people. Person. Then the act of bullying is defined as to use superior strength or influence, remember influences, to intimidate, typically to force someone to do what one wants done. Of course, with the bullying being everywhere, all around us, as you can see even by those pictures, everyone, I would venture to say that everyone in this room has either been bullied or has bullied at some time in their life. So let's look across the page there in Genesis to 4:8 on page 3. Genesis 4:8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were spread abroad that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. In the side notes, it says, Cain started an argument with Abel, striving and contending with Abel, looking for an excuse to kill him. Well, you know, Cain could have been running for office at that time. Just like some of these guys out there now are running for office. Maybe he said if elected, he would get rid of the problem in get rid of the problem in Iran. You know, just like some of the politicians are now saying, Romney, you know, he wants to do away with the problem in Iran. He might get elected that way. You know, some people do. Well, back in 4:8 there, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, trying to preach to him, arguing with him, condemning Abel's righteousness. And Abel was trying to get Cain to repent, of course. You know, in Colossians, I think it's Colossians 2, it says, don't let any man condemn you for practicing the new moons, the feast days, and the Sabbaths of Yahweh. If they're condemning you, if they're coming at you about that, then you know what they're doing? They're bullying. They're bullies. That's what they are. This bullying is all over the place. I'm going to tell you, it has really come real far. Politicians, police, teachers, CEOs, husbands, wives, children, preachers, you name it. Just about everybody is either a bully or has been a bully or has been bullied at some time in their life. You know, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and I probably didn't pronounce that exactly right, but he said that he's not going to take this bullying anymore. So he sees it as what it is, all these threats and all this innuendos about taking care of the problems over there. He knows it's bullying. He sees it as such, and he says he's not going to take it anymore. I remember a boy that grew up being bullied in the school that I went to. And when he complained to his teachers, they labeled him as a troublemaker. As years went on, he did indeed become a troublemaker. There was physical bullying, psychological bullying, and all this young man had to look forward to almost each and every morning was the star football player punching him in the chest. That's what he had to look forward to. You could read all of Acts 7. That gives you a great history of bullying. In fact, let's just turn there real quick. Page 847. Page 847. Acts 7, 51 and 52. This is when Stephen was being bullied, and he was explaining to those in power where this bullying came from and why they were bullies. You stiff-necked, stubborn, and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Spirit Holy, just as your fathers did, so you do also. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Which of them have they not bullied? And they have slain those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Yeshua was no stranger to being bullied, even to the death. And bullying can be accomplished by using, remember, the influence to intimidate someone to force them into compliance. At any time, the prophets, Yeshua, the apostles, and yes, Pastor, they could have given in to this bullying and complied with the desires of those that were bullying. In fact, let's take a quick look at Isaiah 44. Or excuse me, Isaiah 43. Verse 28 on page 558. Page 558. Isaiah 43:28. Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and will give Jacob to the curse and Yisro to reproaches. Well, see that word reproach? That word reproach is a fancy name for guess what? Bullying. That's right. A fancy name for bullying. Remember the man that offered Pastor a large sum of money if he would just quit preaching the truth? If he would just stop all this, and you know, this is quite a while ago, if he would have just shut it down and stopped doing it, he would have given him this large sum of money. What was that? Bullying, right? So what I'm trying to show here is that bullying has been around for a long time and that it goes way beyond the schoolyard. The schools and governments are just now really starting to focus on it a little bit. But what are they doing? You know, for the past 12 years, they put a little bit of effort into it and they started making laws against it. Well, here's what they do. They put some signs up around the school, you know, different cute signs that say no bully zone, no bullying here. It has pictures of bulldogs and stuff they hang on the wall and saying bullying will not be allowed. And in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program in the Junior High Self-Control Unit, on page 163, about halfway down, it says, believe it or not, bullying was once considered a normal part of attending school. It was commonly accepted that there would always be bullies and there would always be those who were bullied. Bullying was a problem that for the most part affected only the bully and the victim. However, in the last several years, bullying in schools became society's problem as well. And we all know about the school shootings that have taken place and that are still taking place. And even now, it's spread out to where you're hearing the shootings almost every day at restaurants, at landmarks in big cities, all over the place. Well, they're making laws, but it's not stopping the bullying. It's not slowing it down at all. Because you know why? It's just like at the prison. What I thought when I saw that, I said, they've got bullies teaching bullies. How can a bully teach someone not to bully? In the book of Yisrael, the 11th book of Yisrael, part 2, on page 115, and verse 39, I'm going to read it real quick here. They actually say that people are satisfied when the government is taking like 70% of the wealth, or the rich people are taking between 70 and 85% of the wealth and dishing out 15%. I believe it's 15% that will keep the normal people satisfied. But when it gets less than that, when it gets less than the 15%, then we start having revolutions. Well, that's what we're having today. And you can see it taking place all over the world. This bullying is still in effect. It's taking place everywhere. And you know, we have to be aware of it because we're right in the middle of it and Satan is trying to bully us to stop doing our job, right? As we saw in a recent video, even the microbes are being bullied. They can't do their job. They're being taken over by these viruses. So we are literally eating, breathing, and drinking bullies. Every breath you take, every bite of food, these bullies are going inside us. Think about it. So with all of this around us, all these influences around us, I have to encourage everyone here and those of you out in TV land to weigh your words carefully when speaking with others, especially your children. If someone's been bullied, they're going to be very sensitive to whatever they've been bullied about, if it's been a particular thing. And all the problems that we see in the world today are brought about by bullying. Well, what can we do? When will this all end? What would you say? What would you say if someone came up to you? What would you say if you had a meeting with a teacher, a business leader, maybe a mayor or a governor, a congressman, maybe the president? What would you say to them when asked why you think the peaceful solution will work, or why you want to teach the peaceful solution? If you were asked how to solve the problems in the world, including bullying, well, okay, here's one of the answers. It's a great program. All right, that's one answer you could give them. Number two, well, I've got nothing else to do. Why not? It'll give me something to do to teach the peaceful solution. What about if you have something prepared in advance? What about you knowing the peaceful solution and how the peaceful solution works, what about having something prepared to be able to speak intelligently with these people about? Mr. Congressman, Mr. President, you know this world is in grave danger today. What future do we have with the nuclear bombs all around us in our cities, in the waters, in the submarines, maybe in the sky? What future could we possibly have when the whole world can be destroyed tomorrow? With all the countries and organizations out there wanting to wipe the USA off the face of the earth? I think we should do something about it, don't you? Imagine, if you will, peace in the war-torn nations. We can start today working together to bring peace to these war-torn nations, and it can be the standard, it can be the example to the rest of the world on how it's done. And we need your help. And I know, Mr. President, that you have the authority to do it. And you can and should do it today. Now that's the kind of answer that should be given. Praise Yahweh. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to do this. You know, there's been a lot of changes in the past few years, and now we have that opportunity to continue bringing forth that change with positive change, with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So, okay, if you were really imagining it just then, did your heart start pumping a little fast? Did your hands get a little sweaty? You know, just really imagining sitting down and talking to somebody about this program and having an answer for them. Yeah, it's tough. You got to prepare yourself. And not to say that everybody's not a little bit nervous along the way, but you have to overcome that nervousness. I'm nervous every time I get up here and talk. I'm nervous every time I go before somebody to talk about the peaceful solution. But you know what? Yahweh has given us strength to push through our nervousness, to push through any problems that we have and do this work. Yahweh gives us that strength. In fact, in Yael 2, we're told to prepare our children for this job, that they're going to be prophesying. In Yael 2, you know what Yael means? It means Yahweh is our strength. Yahweh is our strength. Yahweh gives us the strength. Yahweh gives us the glory. You know what that word glory means? The ability to get things done, to do a job. So Yahweh gives us that ability. I'm going to tell you, if it was up to me just going out there and trying to get something done, I don't think anything would ever get done. I've got to have Yahweh in my corner. We have to have Yahweh in our corner in everything that we do. Every day. Without Yahweh, we are nothing and we can do nothing. With Yahweh, we live in Babylon. We live in confusion. Yahweh is indeed our strength. Let's go ahead and turn there to Yael 2 on page 693. While you're turning there, Yael 2 on page 693. While you're turning there, I'd like to remind you of some recent things that have taken place in the world. As this time period closes in, this Yahweh is our strength, it's going to be of the utmost importance in your life. We need Yahweh now more than ever before. Please remember, Yahweh is our strength. Praise Yahweh. You know, we have cannibals out there on the street, eating people right out on the street and wide open, growling at people like wild animals. We've got violence and protests, rioting, flash mobs, sodomites, the firmament's crying. We have confrontation, instigation, accusation, and retaliation. And this is all bullying. And you know where these roads lead to? All of these roads lead to nuclear war. That's where we're heading right now today. Don't think that you're safe from bullying. I want to share with you something that occurred to me just yesterday on my way in here. I was going down the road and I came up on a huge traffic stop or a huge traffic jam. There were trucks and cars for over half a mile, maybe even close to a mile, lined up. And as I pulled up, I noticed to my right a highway police car with the lights on, and he was sitting there like this on his laptop looking at it, and I was trying to get his attention. I rolled down the window and said, "Hey, hey." He would not look my way. He was on the laptop doing something. I said, "Okay." So I waited. About 10 minutes later, we got to moving, and it was both lanes. And we kept moving. There was no stop, start and stop or anything. And as I got to down there to where it seemed that the stoppage was, I noticed another police car. This time it was over in the median, over on this side, and it was facing back this direction with its lights on. And again, the police officer was in there on the laptop doing something, not paying any attention. But I was looking around for the wreck. There was no wreck. I was looking around for the flashing lights or something, some signs saying, you know, stop here, there's an emergency, or the road work or something. It wasn't there. And there were no policemen out there stopping traffic. And I thought, you know, this is kind of strange. So as I rode on down the road, I could see, because it was in a curve, I could see behind me. And maybe a half a mile down the road to a mile, and we're starting to move a little faster now, I noticed that the traffic had stopped again. I was thinking, well, I wonder why. Was there another wreck? Was it cleared out that fast? Was there a wreck in the first place? No, it was none of those things. And it brought back to my remembrance something that had occurred in a vehicle I had before, and something that technology has given the capability of doing. Your car can be stopped dead in its tracks without your desire for it to be. It was a rainy day. It was very cloudy. And I think what was going on was they were practicing in that severe weather condition on how their triangulation or whatever it was would work is the only thing I can figure out. And indeed, with a little more research, they do have that capability to stop traffic and control it in cases of emergency. New cars have satellite on it where if your car's stolen, all you got to do is call in. They disable it like that, and the police can find the car. So don't think you're beyond this bullying. It takes place every day out here in the world. So let's just think about this one time, Yahweh being our strength. Yahweh is our strength. Can everybody say that with me one time? Yahweh is our strength. It's so very important, and I know I keep pushing it, but you know, I see these scary things out there taking place all around. And I know sometimes people maybe that live nearby here and everything don't see all these things, but it's shown to you in the news, and it's real. I'm telling you, it's true. Everything out there, they've come a long ways, and they've got some plans that I think when they finally start taking place, we're all going to be very startled at exactly how bad it is. Okay, well, with Yahweh, we have this strength to get the job done. And Yael 2, if you look at verse 23, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Father, for he has given you the teacher of righteousness." That's Yisrael Hawkins. He has given us that teacher of righteousness, the one sent in these last days, and we need to be thankful for it. Praise Yahweh. "He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the autumn, the latter rain and the first moon." Now look at verse 28. "And it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy." We have to get our children ready for this job. We have to be ready for this job of prophesying to the nations. We have to be ready to give them an answer when that answer comes, when they want to know what can we do to stop this bullying, this terror that's taking place. In the side note, in verse 28, it's G3, "As they had visions and dreams in old times, so shall they have clearer understanding." Well, Satan is indeed bullying us. And if we turn to Deuteronomy 32, what page is that on? Deuteronomy 32 on page 174. Deuteronomy 32, 2 on page 174. "Let my teaching fall like rain. Let my words descend like dew. let them fall like showers on the new grass, like abundant rain on plants. In the side note in R1, it says, this is the evidence that you will have to give, that in your presence I declare that the laws of Yahweh, which I gave to Israel, is life to the world as the rain, which is life to the world. So the laws of Yahweh is life, just as the rain is life. And remember, it says the teaching will fall down like rain. And back in Ya'il, it says, for he has given us this teacher of righteousness. He will cause the rain to come down for us so that we can prepare to do this job. This job of teaching the nations, of prophesying. So we can do this job to bring forth the changes that will bring forth the changes, so things like this thing with Sandusky at the Penn State, so these things don't occur. In fact, in the new newsletter, it says Sandusky is not guilty according to the words of the Savior, Yahshua Messiah. No, he's not guilty. In fact, on page 18, I'm going to read this to you. It says, this describes the whole Catholic Church. It starts out, Raised Without Light is the title. It says, this describes the whole Catholic Church and all they have profaned. They have brought profaneness to all the world. Sodomites are not born. Scientists say sodomites are made. They are made through teaching and by force. They can be unmade also by teaching, if they chose to turn around, repent, and convert. We can help anyone who truly desires to repent and convert from this wickedness that was forced upon you. We can teach you how to make the change in a very short time. You do not need to remain in this profaneness. Praise Yahweh. That's an awesome article, this whole newsletter is, but I encourage you to please read this article and study it. On page 19, in the middle column, it says, the whole religious system is led by Satan. It has a form or outward show of holiness, but inwardly the whole system of the world's religions is as ravening wolves, and wolves are bullies. They attack without care or concern. They're bullies. The land is full of adulterers. Because of this curse, the land and firmament mourn. The pleasant places of the nations are drying up right in front of your eyes. Their conduct is evil, from the priest to the child. So I encourage you to remember that yesterday is gone, tomorrow may be too late, and today is the day to teach the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program to all the world. Yahweh will give us our strength to make it through this bullying that's taken place all around us today. And if you all please stand at this time to continue teaching us how to stay away from that bullying and overcome it, the great Kohan Sophania Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a little different video today. It's going to get into some of the scientific discoveries that they're making that support what the pastor has been teaching for decades, and I'm sure they've been getting their ideas to even study these things from the house of Yahweh, although they're not admitting it right now. But we're going to have five of them. It's going to be a little longer than usual, but it's real interesting. One of them is the highway in the sky, which is showing how just above our heads now there's billions of things like flies, moths, butterflies, and they go all the way up to 20,000 feet, and I'm sure more. And they kind of live up there, and they travel up there. That's a cartoon. It's pretty interesting. And they're just discovering that we've had these billions of bugs above our heads, and they're just now discovering it. And it just shows how little mankind really understands about Yahweh's creation. And then they have a person who's a bacteria expert, and he's going to talk for about 10 minutes about bacteria's role in creating rain, which they're just now beginning to understand. And there was another study coming out, which maybe we'll be able to get a video of it next week. But this, of course, is what Pastor has been teaching us. And then bacteria building a pyramid under computer control. This shows mankind trying to get control of these creatures for their own use, which would only make things worse, you know, unless they have the character of Yahweh. And then there's a cartoon that shows the size of an atom, and that's really interesting how tiny an atom is. And then it gets into nanotechnology. And all of this really gets into this scripture that talks about how we're wonderfully made. And just keep in mind that wonderfully means complex. Pastor brought that out. And this means made of a complex means put together of a number of interconnected components. And it really also, all of this disproves evolution too. And I think they're just maybe beginning to understand the implications of that. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
You may be seated. I would like to encourage everyone to get that disc of this, of the last three discs, the weekly sermons. And of course, I was told yesterday that we will be allowed to use these tapes and have them. They'll be on ahead of the sermon. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. They'll be ahead of the sermon, so you'll be able to watch this over and over till you get. You really need to learn this. Really, it of course this is helping you to understand the energy that I talked about before we started playing these. The great energy that Yahweh has control of, and he shows this in the Holy Scriptures, but he makes it impossible for you to see it until he decides it's time to show it, and then he does this. He brings it about, the knowledge for to fulfill his plan, of course, and of course the knowledge that he gives to his house. If you think about this. Now, of course, you know that all the scriptures were taken away. You know that all the scriptures were taken away from the entire world. Now, this was under the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church with its huge army. There was something like 500 translations into that is. The scriptures were translated into 500 different languages. Now that was the dates that will help you to remember, because that was in 500 BC, 500 AD. In 600 AD, just 100 years later, the only scripture allowed, under death penalty, by the way, was the one they said was so corrupt that no one wanted it, was the Latin translation. Now, that took place within 1 year. We've got to go into that history, too, and learn it. In fact, this will probably be the last of this until the feast. I think I can have all this other covered, and then we'll get back on the firmament in the feast. But from now until the feast, we're going to be covering how this book of Yahweh disappeared. And if you could imagine right now, if you didn't have the book of Yahweh, if there was no scriptures available, and this was the way the world was, this was the great dark ages where they had no knowledge, and of course they had no hope. They had nothing. How did they get here? They didn't know. And, of course, they knew nothing. But Yahweh had a work plan, and he said, in a certain time period, knowledge will be increased, and this is what we see now. And, of course, He had a work plan that had to be brought up. So laws in the whole world had to change and that he brought about to do so. But this right here today, if you'll get that and rewatch it, you know, it shows what man is wanting to do, you know, with his technology. He wants to harness the bacteria, and the bacteria that you saw building that pyramid, that was in actual fact real. It was real. And, of course, they had it harnessed, and they were building a pyramid and showing how they had power over a mass. Remember the word mass? Along with Leviathan. The word mass, and, of course, Babylon too, and along with the firmament, because that's, and you're going to have to remember this for a few weeks, and we'll get back into it. But the microorganisms here, the one that showed how small an atom is, you know, and you can't imagine. And then all this power and that something that you couldn't see if it was multiplied 20,000 times, you still couldn't see it. But then maybe 100,000 times, you could get a little bit of glimpse of it and look like a maybe a flea to you or something like that. But the firmament now that Yahweh created, and you saw the mass amount of living, now these were ones that you could see, insects of all kinds in the atmosphere, actually living out of the atmosphere, living off of what they were eating in the atmosphere. But they have a part to play. Every one of them has a part to play in service to mankind. And, of course, these things are being killed off by viruses. We got some great information on that, too, but I don't think we'll have time to show it until the feast. With Yahweh set this up, of course, perfectly, and the earth was in perfect shape. If you got the information this week, they put out the information saying that the earth is not at all supplied with as much items for man's health and well-being as we once thought. Now, the fact is, they're trying to make out like it never was, but it was supplied with everything a person needed when it was combined with the wonderful things that Yahweh put in the firmament to feed and nourish the earth. But the earth was supplied, and it could supply mankind in the beginning. If you look at the dates of the ages of the people and how long they lived, you know, it was between 900 and 1,000 years, and they could have lived longer, but sin kept creeping in, of course. Well, what went wrong, of course, was mankind started sinning, following the ways of sin, and dying you will die. And, of course, this is slowly building up, and not only do we kill ourselves, we kill with it the firmament, and I'm telling you this because you're going to be rebuilding the earth and the heavens. But Yahweh's plan for you, in fact, that's the reason you were called, that's the reason you were created, and that's the reason you're here today. You can have part in actually bringing all this back the way that Yahweh created it. If you'll turn over to Revelations 21, Yahweh shows us here. Yahweh shows us all of this in Scripture. The only thing, when I started trying to figure out how in the world can I teach something this complicated, and I can see it myself, but to get it over into words where someone else can understand it, it's almost impossible. And, of course, seeing it to begin with, you know, and because it comes in a number of scriptures, and you have to get every one of them in your head, put them together, which Yahweh can do, but it was hidden. And you can see why it was hidden now, and how it was hidden. None of these things were visible to mankind, not even the scriptures. Even when they had the scriptures, you could see bits and pieces of this, but not enough to get the whole picture until you got all the parts that the prophets spoke. But the prophets did describe these fully, and we'll get deeper into it during the feast, Yahweh willing. But here in Revelations 21, of course, we're in the time of the end right now, and we may as well cover some of those scriptures and see what I'm talking about here. But in Revelations 21:1, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Well, what would they be? Why? Well, because they're going to be destroyed, and of course they're being destroyed now, and Yahweh is watching this, as he says he's actually watching it through the firmament. The firmament is actually telling on everyone. Well, Christianity would want to destroy the firmament so it couldn't tell on them, I guess. But the fact is, they are destroying the firmament, but their telltale signs is still going on to Yahweh. But if you notice there, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea." That's not exactly true on the sea, but I don't want to throw you off in explaining it, so just leave it like it is for the time being. But go over to Isaiah now, 58, and you combine these two scriptures here, and you see that you are going to be involved in, first off, the earth and the heavens. Yes, they are going to be damaged. Really, they're damaged right now to where less and less of their energy can be dispensed to mankind and to the earth, that to where the earth can have the elements that it needs to nourish the trees and the vegetables and so forth, the grapes for the wine and the drinks and so forth. So, and less of it. And they said, you know, years ago they tested it, and now they see that it just wasn't there. There's not very much in it. Trying to make out like that it was there, that it wasn't there at all. They just made a mistake earlier. But here in Isaiah 58, if you look at verse 12, he said, "And those of you will rebuild the old waste places." Well, of course, this is what it's going to be. The ones that Yahweh choose here is going to rebuild this heaven and earth. And we'll have that power because of Genesis 1:26. "I'll make mankind in my image after my likeness, and I'm going to give him authority." Now, I brought that out last week, the authority over these microorganisms, the creeping things, and he tells you what you will have authority over. And of course, first off, you have to prove that you won't use them for war, retaliation, that you will be like Yahshua, that you would be more willing to die than to hurt someone else. "But those of you will rebuild the heavens and the earth." And now the places, I've got in my book of Yahweh, I got it circled there, and out to the side, I got universe. So I know I've brought this before. The thing for you to do is remember, maybe mark this in your own scripture book, but at the same time, if you don't rehearse it every once in a while, it will disappear from your memory. So you need to keep these things, especially right now, till you learn everything about this firmament. And I haven't brought you but about maybe 1/100th of it so far that is shown in the Holy Scriptures by the prophets and apostles and the Savior himself. But you'll rebuild the universe, the heavens and the earth. You will raise up the foundations of many generations. Now, of course, if you if he's speaking of the universe, which he is right here, and we see the planets that have no life, unless there was life in those planets, unless there's life in those planets now, which we know from Scripture that they are in some planets. But unless the others that look totally waste, they have nothing that would tell us that they would support life. And you notice what they're looking for is bacteria. Well, the knowledge has been increased to where they know that life is coming from bacteria. If you combine that with the word spirit, when you're studying this from now on, you'll start seeing things that the Savior talked about. We'll get into that deeper too later. Don't let it throw you off here. But a foundation, raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. That is between life and death. That's what it amounts to. The restorer of the streets to dwell in. And he's not, if you looked at the, I don't know if we had that in this particular film or not, where the Adam was, man had the pack and he was walking down the street inside this thing that you can't even see unless it's magnified 40 times, and yet here's a little bitty creature in there making repairs. It's a long ways for him because his steps are so tiny you can't see them either. Well, how do you do this? Look at verse 13 now. If you will turn your foot from the Sabbath, you're one of those that will rebuild the universe. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? If you will start out now by keeping the Sabbath, the way Yahweh tells you to keep the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, doing your work, your own works, and so forth, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him, that is Yahweh, by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor engaging in idle conversation. All of these things here now apply to gaining this power that Yahshua had when he said, told his disciple, go throw a hook in the water, and there's a fish going to bring you some money to pay your taxes with. Think of the power he had there. Well, they're trying to harness this bacteria now to make this thing build a pyramid. You will have the authority to just tell it what to do. And you say, remember his words, you say to this mountain, be removed. Go over there. And it'll do it. You know, you'll have that authority. That's what he was talking about here. Well, at last you understand what he's talking about now, right? Praise Yahweh. All of these things you must overcome, of course. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and you won't make it unless you find this joy in Yahweh, as Yahshua did. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, Yaakov, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken this. Or, as another version said, spoken by the mouth of the prophets. Of course, you're a fool if you don't believe everything that the prophets have spoken. In Exodus now, 31, keep this in mind here now. You're going to be a rebuilder of these things that are going to be totally destroyed. And if you'll turn over to Exodus 31 and verse 13, remember now, he said, you will be the one that will rebuild the universe if you will do this. Now, he adds to that here in Exodus 31:13. If you keep Yahweh's Sabbath, you will know. No one in the world keeps the Sabbath except the house of Yahweh. That's it. No one knows how. And if it hadn't have been for Yahweh showing us this, we would be trotting along with all the other Christian organization. But no one is keeping it except us. And he says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you will keep, for they are a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. You know what the word sanctifies mean? It means set apart for a purpose. Purpose of what? Rebuilding the universe, for one thing. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. So he sanctifies you for the purpose of giving you, as Genesis 1:26 said, giving you authority. You couldn't rebuild the universe, I mean, if you didn't have power to do so. This is going to take some doing. It's going to take some doing cleaning up the firmament of this earth. We're going to have to make this new, totally back to what Yahweh gave Adam and said, here, guard and keep this. Don't let it change. Well, of course, he didn't do it, neither is any other of mankind. And this is a great lesson as he destroys this, because he's destroying himself along with it. And now it seems like the scientists are beginning to tell our intelligence in Washington and throughout the world, hey, this earth is not going to survive like this. It's simply not going to survive. We can't keep this up. But they don't know what they're doing. They think it's because they built a fire over here on this hill and over here on this hill and caused a big ball of gas and stopped everything from working in heaven. Well, they built fires, yes, but not that kind of fire. But here you see that Yahweh is if you will do this now. If you'll do it the way Isaiah said it, then you will be rebuilders of the universe. Our job, of course, right now, is to warn mankind of what he's doing, and that's what we were called for. If you turn over to Revelations 10, you will see us spoken of here. Of course, there's a lot of scriptures that I just passed up here, about 10,000 of them, that speaks of this work here in Revelations 10. And our job is to warn man. Our job is now to warn the world of the fact that man-made global warming is because of sin. It's not because of burning wood. That's not a sin. But it's caused by sin. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Now that's what your scripture shows you in Revelations 18. Here it says in Revelations 18, it says it's reaching into the firmament. Well, here in Revelations 10 now, in verse 7, this is our job right here. And it shows you that we're in it. We're doing it right now. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, that's the last one, or seventh messenger of Yahweh, the last light on the lampstand is shown and sets before Yahweh's throne, the seventh messenger, when he will begin to sound the great secret. You see that word secret? Imagine this has been held secret from science. Science is just now discovering what bacteria, he's just now discovering that there's things there you can't see. And if you put this together now with what Yahshua said, speaking of spirit beings, he said you can see what they do, but you can't see them. Remember that? We'll put all these things together and we'll cover them in detail later. There's a lot we've got to cover in detail later, but at least we'll get the thought to going, you know, where you won't be going to heaven for your reward when you die and meeting St. Peter at the Golden Gate and getting turned down and all this kind of crapola that's been stuck into man's minds by foolishness of Satan. through their preachers that she leads constantly. But if you get this now, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished. That is, they will be proclaimed. And if you look on down to verse 11, he says, "And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and languages and kings." Now, that's what we're doing now. We're prophesying to the whole world right now what they have done, the sins that the Catholic Church brought forth that is destroying the firmament and causing, that's all they can see right now is global warming, but there's a lot more than this taking place. The fact is, the earth is being depleted. And they know it's not what it once tested out. Just a few years ago, I think those tests that they were going by was in the 50s, I do believe. And by the way, they were done in Oklahoma. That was one of the places they were done. And now they're saying, well, they were wrong. You know, the earth has hardly any of that. Yes, it has hardly any of it left, but it was there to begin with. And we're depleting our earth. We're also depleting the atmosphere, the firmament that feeds the earth. Well, these secrets are being told now to the entire world, and it's being made known what the actual cause is of global warming and everything else that's sickness and disease, causing sickness and disease and so forth. But we're taking this before all nations. And then he says in chapter 11, verse 1, he gives us a reed like a rod, and I've covered this many times here, to measure the temple, and that was one of the first works that we fulfilled years ago. Now, if you notice in the seventh messenger, last part, shown to the prophets, if you look at verse 11, let me see. Yes, the last part of verse 11 of chapter 10, the languages. This is, we left out a word there. We left out a word. But anyway, it's the, as shown to the prophet. Oh, here it is, verse 7. I'm sorry. Verse 7. He declared to his servants, the prophets. So what is the secrets here? Verse 10, verse 7 of chapter 10, Revelation, verse 7, notice the secrets of Yahweh would be finished as he declared to his servants the prophet. The secrets was actually declared to his servants the prophets, though I don't think they understood because they were just given in bits and pieces. Now, in chapter 16, and verse 17 of Revelations, 17 through 19, he says, "And the seventh messenger poured out his bowl into the air." Now, you should have firmament written on that word air. And I do believe that that's in the book on global warming, that is the work on global warming, the real cause of global warming. But you should have the word air circled and then the word firmament, because that's what it's speaking of. And of course, it's not a concoction, a witch's concoction that he pours out on into the firmament. It's a message from heaven. The message coming down from heaven that he said would be declared in chapter 10, verse 7, that the secrets would be revealed, that Yahweh would be finished, the secrets of Yahweh would be finished as he declared to his servants the prophet. Well, in chapter 16, and verse 17, the pouring out or explaining what's taking place with the firmament at this time is the seventh message coming down from heaven through, as you could see from chapter 11, verse 1, the two witnesses. Chapter 11, verse 1 through. These are the two witnesses. Well, the witnesses, the seventh message there, some confusion comes in where it says another mala. But it's not. Each one of those is a mistranslation and means another message comes forth. They're a part of this house of Yahweh that was established. And there was a voice. There was voices and thunders and lightnings. And look at verse 19. Oh, no, look at great earthquakes, and then verse 19. And it came to pass that the great city divided into three parts, that is New York City, as I brought out in the book, The Mark of the Beast. The great city divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance of Yahweh. We will see from the mouth of the prophets in the coming sermons that Yahweh is looking through the firmament, be turning over to chapter 18, at this great Babylon. Remember that, because you're going to see it in book 2 during the feast, Yahweh willing. Now, the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins will be bringing during the feast a complete sermon on this chapter 16 and verse 17, also that will help tremendously to add to this work on the firmament here. Now remember the word Babylon here that you just read, and look on over to chapter 18 now. Chapter 18, and look at verse 2. Chapter 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Well, of course, this is the teaching coming forth that started with Cain, and of course has come down slowly, killing the world, killing man, killing the world, killing off the support of mankind. And this Babylon, if you'll keep it in mind here, it will help you to understand the Leviathan, because the commentators can't understand that. But you're going to understand it 100% when you see these, praise Yahweh, these scriptures put together. And look at, now in verse 5, notice, verse 5, he says, for her sins, this Babylon that you see in chapter 17 and verse 5, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations that kill off the firmament, the bacteria in the firmament, with their viruses that they create through illegal lust and illegal acts of lust. Well, chapter 5 says, for her sins have reached into heaven. That is Babylon, this teaching from the Christian churches today that is spread throughout the whole world. They say, well, how did she bring this to the others? They don't follow her. Yes, they do. They were forced into it. We'll see this. We will see this when we see this next episode coming up, you want to call it that, but about the killing, destroying the Bible, destroying the scriptures, and they thought they had it completed too. As I said, 600 BC, only the Latin version was left. There was a penalty of death for anyone who would own anything else. And that Latin version, everyone knows it was corrupt, and all the translators talk about it. But Yahweh saved some other things that they didn't discover for the purpose, of course, of bringing forth this last day's work. Well, her sins have reached into, and if you'll circle that word, heaven there, and put firmament. Her sins have reached into the firmament, and Yahweh has remembered her putting away the law. Putting aside the law, that's what iniquity is. Iniquity is sin, of course. You put aside the law, that's sin. But iniquity actually means either rebelling, pushing aside, doing away with Yahweh's laws. That's the reason you can use it in the same sentence, her sins and iniquities. Sins and iniquities. Well, Yahweh has remembered this, and Yahweh, we'll see, as the prophet says, is actually judging this great whore, looking through the firmament. What do you think he's looking at? Yahweh is seeing everything that mankind has destroyed, and then he will set his hand then the second time to save mankind, of course, because it's not a lost cause with Yahweh. It's a proving, a testing. Now you're being tested. You're being judged. And as we can see by the prophets, Yahweh is going to judge all the nations. But after, of course, we do our job of getting this completely given out to the nations, to all nations, to where they can totally understand it as you understand it now, most of you. And of course, we get it out to them, and they will be able to see as you do what is actually causing this and the great power that Yahweh created in the heavens. If you think about that Adam, and of course, this is what they don't want Iran to do. They don't want Iran to do the same thing that they did. Now, that's what they're saying right now. This may be an excuse to just distract Iran or to take over Iran. Who knows? Malachi Martin says that Satan is going to come against Iran and China and Russia, and he named all the Arab countries that wouldn't worship Mary, and she's going to make war against them. Right after that, they hit Afghanistan, then Iraq, and next will be, hopefully, very, very soon, the great nuclear wars. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back over to the next speaker. I love you!